Now God spoke to him, and he turned out of that culture into Christianity. I just thought that was powerful, and it kind of leads me into my message tonight. We talked the last 2 weeks about gifts. We're talking about Christmas time, we think about gifts. We talked about the gift of salvation last Wednesday. We talked about the gift of peace the Wednesday before. And tonight, we want to talk about the gift of life. That's what this man found. He found life. God gave him life. And how we must understand that this was a gift that Jesus came to give us. Before him, there was no hope of a life with him, an eternity spent with him. Before he came, there was no promise of a tomorrow for us. But when he came, he changed things. He gave us hope where there was no hope. He gave us joy where there was no joy. He gave us a future where there was no future. He gave us life. And there are so many struggling and living their days every single day of their life without this gift of life in their life. So we're going to talk about this. We're going to be in Matthew 16 first. This is all the scriptures tonight are Jesus himself speaking. In Matthew 16, verse 25, Jesus starts out by saying, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." You know what it's saying? That without, if we want to be ourselves here apart from him, then we're going to lose our eternity. We're going to lose life later. But if we'll surrender our life to him now, we'll gain life everlasting and life evermore. People are so hungry and desperate to be filled. To be filled with something that really matters. To be filled with something that satisfies them. Our generation and world is changing at a rapid rate. I mean, it's becoming more and more rapid. It's a world we don't even recognize anymore. And we're seeing such spiritual warfare, and we're seeing such change in our landscape. And church, you know, what we're seeing is, as this man said, you heard what he was trained to do. Now, I'm not one of these people that's going to just, I'm not a condemning person, but I'm also not a person that's going to back off when something's real. And in the Quran and in the Muslim teaching, it is anti-Christian teaching. Whereas Christian teaching is all-inclusive of all who will come to the throne. All who will believe in Jesus. And we welcome all people with open arms with this love and gift that Christ provided. And we're dealing in a culture that is trying to shift that. We're dealing with spirits that are after our families, after our minds, after our peace, after our seed, after our health, after our lives, trying to rob us of what God has given us. And so we must appreciate this gift of life, because what God gave us is eternal, is something real. You know, I went to see Steve yesterday at the hospice, and y'all have all heard this, the song, My Prayer. I think Celine Dion started out in 99, and then it's been the American Idol, McPhee sings it now with an Italian guy, My Prayer. Beautiful, beautiful song. It's powerful. Steve played it in the room, and he's laying there, and he says, "You know what?" He says, "Man, what a song to go out with. What a song to see the face of God with." And the reason I make that point is this. When we know we have everlasting life, then we can stare what we think death may be and not fear it. For we realize what is ahead of us. We realize this isn't the end for us. We realize being put in a casket, it's not over. Being put in the ground is not finished. That it's a new beginning for us because we have the gift of life. And so I want you to really comprehend that we walk through trials and tribulations. We walk through, life is hard. We walk through all kinds of storms and battles, and the devil rattles us. And you know, we have people can't sleep at night, and people full of anxiety, and people full of discouragement, people full of fear. People are tormented in their dreams and tormented in the daytime. And just, you know, people are just a basket case. But our hope doesn't lie in what we see here. Our hope doesn't lie in our flesh and blood. Our hope doesn't lie in our successes or failures upon the earth. Our hope lies in the one who came and died and rose the third day. Our hope relies in that. And when our hope is in that, church, we can have great joy in journeying this life, this journey called life, without no fear. Because I know what lies ahead. God, I know every step I live, Every breath I breathe, every moment I'm alive is a breath, a step, a moment closer to my new beginning. It's a moment closer to my eternity. It's a moment closer to seeing the gift of life materialized in its fullness for me. That's what Jesus came to do, that we would have life. Next verse says this, "What is a man profited if he will gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Think about the bargaining humanity does with their soul, really. We fill our lives with all the sin of the world and all that it has to offer. We fill our lives with all the apples out of the garden, so to speak, that Eve throws out there. And we bite into it, and we find out that bite has a bite back. And that bite is bitter. And that bite is poisonous. And that bite brings destruction upon our lives. What do people exchange for their soul? What do they fill their lives with? Everything else but Him. And when we do that, we find that we're still incomplete. We're still lonely. We're still depressed. We're still discouraged. We're still hopeless. Because we're filling it with the wrong thing. Analogy I use many times is water. Water is truly the only thing that really quenches our thirst. It's the God-given natural beverage of humanity. And though we like our McDonald's sweet tea, and I love it, though Melanie likes the bubbly Coca-Cola that burns your innards out, I understand it. Some of you are Mountain Dew freaks. I got it. Cheerwine lasts great for 3 sips. The rest of it's dead. We got our thing. My mom was a Sprite woman growing up. I remember still as a kid, she liked Sprite. Some of you are a Pepper. You're a Pepper. She's a Pepper. We all a Pepper. You want to be a Pepper too. We all got our thing. Some of us are coffee. Grandma's a, you know, if coffee was an alcoholic, my grandma would be in hell. It'd be in a center right now somewhere. So, you know, still, a fifth a day, it's a pot a day. So we all got our choice. We love cold. I remember going to my great-grandma Baldwin's up in Elkin when she was alive, and we'd go up there during the summertime in July for our summer picnic together as a family, and she'd put out there one of them old silver tubs with homemade lemonade and the lemons floating in it. Y'all remember that, the actual lemons and floating in the lemonade. Oh, that was good. But here's the problem. I go get a glass. Another glass. Another glass. Then the whole time home, Dad, can you pull over? Dad, you know what I'm saying? You drunk so much, but you were still thirsty. Because lemonade doesn't quench your thirst. Tea actually dehydrates you. Tea takes water out of your body. Nothing really quenches your thirst like a good old garden hose hooked up to the back of a house. Remember them days? Oh my gosh. Me playing football with my boys, you know, when he's little. We didn't need Aquavina and purified water. I understand water's got junk in it now. I'm sure it does. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. There was nothing better than going hitting that water hose and letting that cold water hose pour in your mouth. Oh my gosh, that was good water. Good drinking. It's the only thing that satisfies. So what the world is doing, they're filling their lives with all the Dr. Pepper, the Mountain Dews, the lemonades of the world, whatever it be, drugs, alcohol, sexual relationships, just living, trying to find something that brings them some peace. That peace wears off. This gives me joy, but I'm depressed again tomorrow. This gives me hope, but then it's jerked out of me again. The only thing that satisfies us is this gift of life that only Jesus can provide. And when we have that gift and we know who we are and where we're going, we can enjoy the journey a lot more. For me as a man, when I'm traveling or we're on vacation or a trip, or the most frustrating thing for me is when I'm turned around. I can't stand if I'm lost. If I'm turning around, if I don't know where I'm going, it stresses me out until I know where I'm going again. I don't like, like Chevy Chase. Hey, it's a side of town the kids don't get to see very often. I'm not like that. I'm wanting to get out of there. I'm wanting to find where I'm supposed to be. And so sometimes in life, people are, they're on this journey. They're lost, and they're not where they're supposed to be, and they're stressed because they're not where God intended them to be. I do believe every life has a purpose. I believe every life's ordained by God. I understand life comes in many different ways, on purpose and not on purpose. I understand that. But I believe God is the only giver of life, that there is no life given outside the power of God giving it. And so every human being has a purpose and has a plan to fulfill. And every person is born, I don't care what anybody says, everybody is born to that conscience. What happens is people either reject that conscience and keep doing what they want to do until they're hardened, or they listen to that conscience and obey what they're feeling. But everyone has that awareness. God put that in man to know. It's just in our DNA to know we're not supposed to kill someone or steal from someone or lie to someone. Those are things we just know don't feel right. And that's a beautiful thing God gave us. You know why? To have us to look unto Him and say, Lord, why do I feel this way? Because I'm talking to you, and I want to come into your life so you can follow me and not follow all the other voices. But many people learn the hard way. They go through the desert. They go through the wilderness. And they harden their hearts against the call of God. They harden their hearts against the voice of God. They harden their heart against people that try to help them. And they refuse this great gift of life. There's nothing worth losing our soul over. No pleasure, no sin, no amount of money. For the Son of Man shall come in glory of His Father with angels. And then He shall reward every man according to his works. There's reward for God's people, a blessing for God's people. God's got something waiting on us so spectacular and so special, so much more beautiful than our eyes could ever see. He's got that waiting on us. It's hard to see that in such a dark, evil, sinful, discouraging generation to where we see such, you know, I told Melanie I would love to be able to really try to mentor young men. I'm talking about young men, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds. Really, if they would listen. Because I see a young generation that is so grasping for something and having nothing. And I feel sorry because I feel a brokenness in this generation, a brokenness in their hearts, a brokenness in their lives, a brokenness that they just can't seem to quite fix. It's because we can't fix that. Only our Creator can fix that. But we got to allow Him to come in and fix that. Next verse is in John, St. John chapter 6. Once again, Jesus speaking, John 6, 32. Then Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven, talking about Jesus, and giveth life unto the world. Life. There are a lot of people that are alive but aren't living. You know, they're not living. We get up every morning, we got our routine. And the older you get, most time you get morning routine. There are certain times I don't call my parents. It's their nap routine. I understand that. So I look at the clock. Can't call them yet. On the dime. Not on the dime, but, you know, I know. Routine. We get up in the mornings. We go through the motions of the kids or whatever, getting to school, then going to work, and then coming home, and then eating dinner. We just getting this. But we're not really living. We're just alive. God came that we would live. Live. I mean, see, we can still enjoy living. Just because everyone else is depressed don't mean you got to be depressed. Just because everybody else is acting like Eeyore don't mean you can't still be Pooh. I mean, we let too many other people affect us and drag us down and destroy our lives. And I'm telling you this. I know it's hard. But even if it's people in your own family, if it's a parent, a sibling, or even a child that is draining you to the point you stop living, you got to recheck that and say, why am I allowing other people to dictate whether I'm happy or not, whether I'm living or not, whether I'm enjoying what God gave me or not? Because I'm on my way to heaven. I, you know, it's like the old song, you know, brother may not go, but I'm going. Sister may not go, but I'm going. You know, son may not go, but I'm going. And we got to get that mentality. We love those around us. We want everybody to go. But it ain't going to stop me from going. It ain't going to stop you from going if you're in Him. So we got to realize where we're heading. Man, every day I'm living, I'm closer to that everlasting life God has waiting on me. Every day I'm closer. So I'm on this journey. This journey is hard, but God is good. This journey is difficult, but God is not.
This journey may be uncertain, but my future is very certain. For I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. That's the God I serve. So I keep the kingdom in mind and the king inside. And when we have that, why can't we live? Why can't we enjoy living? There is so much negativity all around us. Negativity on Facebook, negativity on the news, negativity at your workplace, negativity, everybody's complaining and grumbling about something. Why don't we look at the mountains again, and instead of saying that mountain's under climate change and will be gone in 20 years, let's just enjoy the mountain. Well, that mountain might be gone 20 years, but it ain't 20 years. I'm here right now, and I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm going to do what? That's exactly right. So I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy life and not let all the... Because I'm going to tell you, the old saying, misery loves company. Boy, that's true. Misery loves company. You want to find someone worse shape than you. And when they're down, depressed, you're sitting there going, whew, man, I feel better now. Because they're bad shape too. We love that. When we truly have the gift of life in us, but not living it, what are we doing with it? We got to get out of the motions of just going through it and really enjoy what God has given us. If you can still walk in this place on your own power, praise God. Use them legs to walk until you can't walk no more. You got them arms to raise, praise God. Raise them till you can't raise them no more. You got eyes to see and ears that hear. Those are things other people don't have. We see all these soldiers come back from through all the years of military and war and fighting and losing limbs and having all kinds of, you know, mental issues and their whole life's been altered. We have our arms, we have our legs, we have our eyes and our ears and our right mind. Praise God for that. Thank the Lord for that. That I still am living and I'm so much better than so many other people. So I look at my life differently. Instead of being way down here on my soapbox, rise off that and say, thank God for you have blessed me. Yes, they just sung the song, I have been blessed. Oh, Lord, your thoughts for me are good, and your future is certain, and your future is designed for me. And you've got something special waiting on me. I told Steve at hospice, we were talking about different things, and I said, you know, I really believe that God has something different for every person to enter into when they leave this earth. I think he's got something special designed for each one of us individually to see, something, a special present for us, a prize for us. I don't believe everybody walks in and sees the same thing. It's not like, you know, they enter this one golden gate and they see everything the same. I believe God positions us and creates our own heaven for us based on our desires, based on our hearts, based on what he has prepared for us. Just like a kid at Christmas, they open that present, don't know what's in it, but it's something for them. I mean, you know what your kids like. Y'all wouldn't wrap a box of Brussels sprouts up for me for Christmas? To James Lewis, Brussels sprouts. I don't like that. Unless you hated me. That would tell me, you know, you're going to give me something you know I like. We give our kids and our spouses something we like. I'm not going to get for Melanie for Christmas a frying pan. One, she'll use it. And two, she wouldn't use it. So what would I get it for? I'm going to get her something she's going to use. A restaurant gift card. I'm going to give her something she's going to use. Go to the next verse. He said to us, Lord, as they heard what Jesus says, that I came to give life. They said, Lord, give us this bread. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know, this is not talking about we're not going to have situation in our lives that we're unhappy. Doesn't mean we're never going to not want anything or need anything or feel like we're missing out on something. He's talking much deeper than that. What I've got for you will complete you. It'll be all you'll ever need all of your days. And he is all that we need all of our days. For when our day turns from joy to sorrow, God is there. When our light turns into darkness, God is there. When we are so weak we can't rise ourselves out of the bed, Jesus raises up with us to help us. Because he doesn't leave us or forsake us. We're talking about that Sunday. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. So Jesus fulfills us. This gift completes us.
This gift is truly all that we need, this gift of life he's promised us. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believeth on me, I give you this gift of life, which means your life doesn't end ever. It only gets better. It only grows deeper. In the end, there's much more glory than in the beginning because of what God's got waiting on us. He goes on to say, verse 48, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and they're dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven that a man may eat and not die. I came to give life. Man, I came to give to where you can enjoy living because you know what's ahead for you. I mean, how many songs do we through the years do we sing about heaven and glory land and Beulah land and, you know, when I cross that river and when I rise and just all those songs that focus on glory. Don't forget those songs. That is our promise. That is our hope. That we all will cross that Jordan. That we'll leave the old behind and embrace the new that God has waiting on us. Because he's given us, wrapped up in a manger, this gift of life. That we had no hope before him, but now we do. No plan for us before him, but now we do. Because the redemptive plan came to the earth to change everything. Gift of life. There's nothing more precious than a child being born into the earth. When you held your child, I mean, there's nothing like that moment when you have your child or your grandchild and you're holding that baby in your arms and you're like, thank you, Lord, this is a gift from you. Well, when we give our lives to Jesus, guess what? We have that same gift of life. We've been born again. He sees us as his beloved child who will never, what do we tell our kids? I'll protect you. I'll love you. I'll let everybody hurt you. It's what God does. I love you. I'll protect you. I'll let nobody hurt you. I'll provide for you. I'll always be with you. I'll never turn you away. That's the love God has for us. This is the life he came to give. That we could count on him forever and ever and ever. No matter what season we're going through, whether you're 22 or 82, God knows what you need. And he's in that season of your life. He's promised we wouldn't die. I am the living bread. Living. Jesus is the living bread. He came down from heaven that if any man eat this bread, here it is again, he shall live forever. If he eats of me, if he believes in me, he's going to live forever. Now, people ask this question all the time, and nobody knows the answer to this. Because, see, we're in a different realm. If you ever watch Star Trek or, you know, sci-fi stuff, well, you know how things, they translate realms and different things and all this. People say, do you really, our kids have asked us through the years, you know, do I really want to live forever? What are we going to do forever? I might get bored now. What are we going to do forever? It's a whole different place. It's a different realm. You can't compare the heavenly kingdom to the earthly kingdom. I don't know what it'll be like. I just know, Gil, I can eat all the village and pizza I want with no cholesterol issues and no fat issues and never get sick or throw up. I just know that. I know the Bible says they'll be dancing, singing. It's going to be a real life. But it's going to be, I just think, glorious. I mean, just I don't know. It's hard to measure. But it's just going to be on and on and on and on and on. And it's just going to, I know it's going to be glorious. And so I'm not worried about the living forever part. I'm just thankful I've got that gift of life that I will live forever. And that I won't be separated from God ever. You know, that's the scariest thought, to think you'd be separated from God. To call on God, he couldn't hear you. Call on God, he wouldn't answer you. Or call on God, he said, I don't know who you are. The scariest thought in the world is to be separated from a holy God. And this gift of life came that we would never be separated from him. But he holds our hand from the moment we call upon his name to the moment he ushers us in the kingdom. He never lets go. He just never lets go. Thankful for that. He says, the bread that I will give is my life, or my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I'm giving myself so that you can have this gift of life forever. That's the plan. That's the plan of salvation, that he came to give us life. There are so many people that are being robbed of years and years and years of living because they don't understand that God's got real life for them. I mean, I would rather be broke, poor, and have nothing and have the peace of Jesus in my heart than have everything and not know who He is. Because without peace, we have nothing anyway. You know, Robin Williams, when he took his life, no one saw that coming. He was a jokester. Seemed very happy. It's like a guy you'd love to hang out with. All of his movies were funny and comedies, and, you know, people around him said they didn't see it coming, and, you know, but he was hiding so much inside. Something was missing in his life. I understood he had some financial problems later in his life and different things could contribute, but all those years of making the money, all the years of being famous, if he walked in this church, everybody would pretty much know him, who he was. Isn't that Robin Williams? He was known, but yet he was miserable. Something inside made him so discouraged that he felt like it was better he was dead than alive. What a sad place to be. Don't know anything about his spiritual background. Don't know anything about, I've never read anything about that. But I'm just thankful that on the worst day of my life, God's still the best. In the lowest part of my life, God's still the highest. In the darkest day of my life, He's still maybe the only light I see. But it's what I need. It's all I need. Because if I can see that crack of light from God, I know everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Because I see God. He came to give us this gift of life. And the way He did it was by offering His flesh upon the cross for us, that we could have this gift. Verse 52, the Jews strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They were not thinking outside the box at all. Jesus said to them, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh, the Son of Man, and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. There is no death in Christ. There is no death in His saints. There is no death in Jesus. There is no death in us. Because when Jesus came out of the tomb the third day, He canceled the debt of death that we all were owed. He canceled it. No more does man have to die, because I tasted death for all men. I experienced death for all men. I went to death for all men, that no one would have to experience death. That's why it's called eternal life. I truly believe there is no separation. I believe this gift of life transcends losing our breath on the earth, being in an oxygen tank, losing our consciousness. I believe that this gift of life transfigures that. I believe that on that moment when we know it's our time, that we see and feel the hand of God the whole way. I've not been there. It's just what I believe. Because I've been there with people that have been there. And I know what the Bible tells me. That He's going to never leave me. He's never going to forsake me. He'll be with me till the end. The end. The very end. I just believe there's no separation. Paul says nothing can separate from the love of Christ. Death, life, angels, principalities, things present, things to come. Any principality can separate me from the love of God. Think about that. Nothing. Cancer don't separate us. Car wreck don't separate us. Heart disease, heart attack don't separate us. Alzheimer's don't even separate us. We may not know who our family is, but God knows who we are. And we're still His child. And He's not left us in that moment. We lose all soundness of mind. God is still there. He's still there. God's presence is made felt to the very end. I believe that. I don't believe God checks out on us and just lets us go into a dark oblivion. I think God's with us all the way. That gives me hope. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Forever. What hope that gives us, church. You know, we see a lot of tragedy, a lot of violence, a lot of terrorism. And I remember the story about a year ago where they lined those men on that beach and chopped their heads off, those Christians. God was with them. And there's not a doubt the moment their physical body gave up the ghost simultaneously. I don't believe there's even a moment of relapse at all. I don't believe there's a moment of waiting. I don't believe there's any dull, zoned out moment. I believe it's a continuous living. A continuous living. I believe as they had their heads bowed and that sword come across the back of their neck, I believe it was so instantaneous that there absolutely was a seamless transition into God's glory. That's what I believe. Seamless transition. And when we know our hope and our future, we can face what the world calls death with great confidence, knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be abandoned in the flesh means to be united with Christ. That's what I believe. And so let's not give so much credence to death and what could happen that we stop living and enjoying the gift of life God's given us. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. I mean, Brenda is right. We don't know if any of us will be here in 20 years or 20 hours or 20 minutes. I mean, nobody knows. Chris Nitsu, 48 years old, walking in the park with his wife, had a heart attack. Didn't see that coming. Had no idea he had an issue. 99.9% blockage in an artery. He didn't know. We don't know what the next moment holds for us here. But we know that the gift of life holds all of our moments forever. That's why we can enjoy living. Last scriptures here, John 11:25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection, I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Talking about Lazarus. Lazarus may be dead, but he's going to live again, just as you too are going to live. You are not going to stay dead, you are going to live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus is talking here to his people around him. Is that it? Okay. Believest thou this? He that believeth in me shall never die. Gift of life. Enjoy it. We're Christians. We should be celebrating our faith. I love what the Muslim convert to Christianity said when he said, Lord, I'll die, I'll serve you, I'll live for you, I'll die for you. And it's like, no, God said, no, you ain't got to die for me. I died for you that you could live. Wow. That's what he did. God doesn't want us going out and killing in his name. He died that all men might be saved. He paid the price that we could have everlasting life. He paid the price that we could live. Enjoy living. You have a gift God's given you, eternal life. Enjoy it. And look forward to that glorious day when you hear the Lord's voice welcoming you to where you're supposed to be, in his arms forevermore. What a glorious day that's going to be for the saints of God. Glorious day. You know, I've done a lot of funerals through the years, and the hardest funerals for me to do were the ones that I don't know where they stood spiritually. I don't know if they were saved, or for some families that tell me, I know they didn't believe in God. I'm just telling you, they didn't believe in God, didn't ever go to church, didn't ever talk about God. Still, we don't know the heart, of course. But it's harder for me as a preacher to get up there and just proclaim they're in glory land. But man, when I know someone knows Jesus, that's great. Because man, we can celebrate that. We can celebrate that. That they know Jesus and they're no longer in pain, no longer in any chains, no longer in any strongholds. All their burden has been removed and released, and they are in a glorious state forever. So it's a beautiful thing for the saints of God. Enjoy living. God's given you a gift of life. That's what this season is all about. Jesus giving us life. Life in the midst of death. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for this message. Let us enjoy living. God, let us enjoy life. You've given us this great gift. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. We didn't do anything to get it. God, you, by your grace alone, came as the bread from heaven that we should eat and drink and never hunger and never thirst again. I pray for hearts all around us, in our own families, our friends, our coworkers, those that are close to us that we love. God, I pray they find this gift of life, that you use us as some kind of source, Lord, some kind of spokesman that can speak something to them that they'll realize this is what they need, this is what they're searching for this Christmas season. All the stuff of the world can't fill us. It all wears off. But Lord, your love remains. Your mercy remains. It endureth forever. Your grace continues on and on and on. And this gift of life never ceases to exist. Thank you for this promise you've given us. And thank you that you made a plan that we can never die. Thank you for that, Lord. Bless every heart in here. Bless every person. And we'll give you praise and thanks that you are our Lord and Savior, and that we know who our God is and what our future holds. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. We give you praise for all things in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.